I'd like to welcome Googie back to class. Where's Thomas? Yeah, Thomas of Mongolia has returned. Thomas came with us to Mongolia and he was charged with helping set up the cataloging of the Buddhist books there, which is 1.5 million Buddhist books. The last copies in the world, probably, before they get lost. And I think about 300 Mongolians have asked us to start a Dharma center there and teach English, computers, and Dharma by Americans. They want it by Americans. And also our first TV shows, I think, have aired. We're not quite sure, but sounds like, which Christina Lundberg and Ian Thorson and Mercedes Bachleda worked on. And so it's pretty cool. I think Thomas will be giving you a report next class. And after he's recovered, he hasn't slept yet for 4 days. You might want to think about the possibility of participating in that in next year, sometime, like going over to Mongolia, teaching Dharma, teaching English. And we'll be doing it together with Lama Sopa's group, which is planning a large building there. So I think between all of our energy here and the resources of Lama Sopa's group, that we might be able to do a nice thing there. Okay? They really want us to. They sent us dozens of letters and things like that. Lastly, if anyone is going to be in Florida, I've got some mail from Paul Turning, and you have to apply ahead of time to see him, but I think it'd be cool if anyone's going to be down that way, if they could visit Paul. And if you're interested, let me know, because I have the forms. You have to fill out some form before you try to get there. So, okay? All right. What do you think after? Okay. So we're going to start the review of course 12, I think it was. And that was the final... was it 12 or 13? 12. Final course of the Bodhisattva Charivatara, the Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life by Master Shantideva. And that was the infamous chapter on wisdom. Okay. It's the famous chapter. It's called Chapter 9. People have written commentaries on it ever since. I don't know if you remember this story, but at this point, Master Shantideva was rising off the throne into the air. And there was even a debate about how many chapters there were towards the end, because only a few people with clairvoyance could follow him as he continued to teach and fly away from the monastery. And so the bottom line is this chapter is a little difficult. I don't think there have been a lot of... it's very hard to give a good commentary on Chapter 9, and I think what you'll hear in this class and the next class are a good summary of that information. I think as good as you'll find. Hopefully, it's my dream that we could maybe bring His Holiness or beg His Holiness to maybe come to Arizona in 3 or 4 years and teach the 9th chapter. Because the people in Tucson said that he agreed to come back. He taught the patience chapter there about 3 or 4 years ago? 93. And doesn't seem that long. And he did agree to come back and teach some more. So I think there's like resources there, and between them and us, maybe we can get in there. So that's one of my dreams. Anyway, in the meantime, I'm going to mainly go through one of the questions on the homework. This is Lord Maitreya's take on the 9th chapter. This is what Lord Maitreya's presentation relating to wisdom is. Personally, I remember the days when I was sitting in Ken Rinpoche's class. He very kindly taught Gyaltabje's commentary for over 10 years to us. And it was like the first class I ever went to, I think, and he was teaching it. And I remember getting to the ninth chapter and reading that my misperception of the world was causing all my pain. And, you know, having gone there because I was in pain, I was very interested, you know what I mean? And then I would stare, I remember staring at the door. It used to be the back door. It's the door between the two buildings. That used to be the back door. There wasn't any building there. And I remember staring at the door and trying to decide what I was doing wrong, you know? And I would sit there in the kitchen and stare at the door and try to figure out what I was doing wrong, okay, first of all. And then secondly, why should this cause all my pain? You see, I mean, if I'm looking at the door the wrong way and that's causing all my pain, then if I just looked at the door a different way, things would change. And, you know, I'd get younger and my hair would go back I had hair there actually. But all these things would change, you see what I mean? And I remember being very frustrated that I couldn't really figure it out, you know what I mean? And it took me a while before I could. And I think Lord Maitreya's presentation is very sweet. And because it takes you across that bridge from, oh, you're looking at things the wrong way, to, well, how is that supposed to help me if I look at them differently? You see, I mean, to me, it's the bridge that explains why the way I misperceive things is causing all my pain, and then how I could fix it. You know, and it's very practical, very for real, and to me the most frustrating thing about going to classes about emptiness or wisdom was that I never felt like it got tied down. You know, like I never felt like they were saying, look at this way, look at this way, look at this way, and see, that's how you can get out of it, you see what I mean? And I'm like, it was just always, you know, causes, effects, spots, no spots, holes, pieces, and it never really got it down to my life, you know, like, oh, how am I supposed to use that, and what am I supposed to do with that, and how does that really get me out of my suffering? You see, I mean, and I think Lord Maitreya's presentation is awesome. This was given in the Uttara Tantra. It's one of the five great books of Maitreya. It's called The Higher Line, and I don't know why. It's not a tantra. Tantra also can mean string or line, okay? So, it's one of the five great books of Lord Maitreya that he dictated to Master Asanga. So Asanga gets the credit in universities in the United States, and Lord Maitreya did all the work. So this is the presentation of that. And then the rest of the homework I'd like the assistant teachers to go through, okay? So here we go. To me, it was one of the most precious teachings I've ever seen because it tied together how emptiness is supposed to get me out, okay? So here we go. They say you can't get out without understanding emptiness. So how? How's that work, okay? Here you go. He outlines six steps to the process of suffering because of misunderstanding your world. And I'm going to go through those six steps, okay? A lot of you have seen them before. Say, Dangzin, Bhakchat. Dangzin, Bhakchat. The trouble started before you were born, okay? Bhakchak means a seed in your mind from your past life, okay? So how did it all start? Okay, if my suffering is a result of my misunderstanding the world, when did that misunderstanding start? And why does it start? And it starts before you were born. There's a seed in your mind that was planted by continually, chronically misunderstanding your world in your past life. And in that seed, you are born with that seed in your mind. Dak Zin, Dak means a nature of its own, what they call a self. You can think of it as a nature of its own. So Dak means a nature of its own. Zin means to grasp or to try to grab to that thing. Okay? So Dak Zin is grasping to a thing which doesn't even what? Exist. And you got to appreciate that. The irony of our lives is that the suffering we undergo is triggered by trying to grasp to something that never existed anyway. You see, I mean, it would be a little more comforting if it was like something we just had to overcome or something like that. But to be so stupid is frustrating. You see, I mean, your suffering is triggered by believing in a Santa Claus that was never there. You see what I mean? And all you have to do is straighten that out. You see what I mean? So it's really, you just have to identify what it is that's not there clearly, and then you're out of it. You see what I mean? Okay, so that's Dantin Bhaktar. Why are we making this mistake? Why do we misunderstand our world? You were born that way. Don't feel bad. Okay? Bhaktar means it came as a seed in your mind, and it can't do anything. You're born with it. If you're born in this realm, desire realm, you have it. Period. Okay? Two kinds of beings in this desire realm. I mean, one are emanations of enlightened beings. Who it is, we don't know. I don't know. The people around you, anybody could be. It could be that everyone in this room except me is, or it could be that all of us are desire realm beings, or I don't know. But if you're here involuntarily, it's because you had those seeds in your mind. Okay? Number two. Say dangjin. Ke. Dangjin. Ke. Because you have those seeds in your mind when you're born, then dangjin, which means the tendency of holding that things have their own nature. Okay? Ke means it's born in your mind. It rises in your mind. It arises in your mind. Okay? When? How long does it take? 1 millisecond after you're born. Okay? Alright? The first conscious thought you have, which is what? It's hot in here. Okay? It's wet in here. Or something like that. Okay? The first conscious thought you have is already infected by a misunderstanding of your world. And this misunderstanding infects your mind 24 hours a day after that. Okay? You've never had a thought that wasn't infected, lepa, by dangjin, by this tendency to see things as suffering. Does it mean that you are conscious? You know, I used to struggle with that. I used to go around and stare at the door and say, you know, what am I doing wrong? I'm not even thinking about its self-nature. You know what I mean? Like, Rinpoche would say, you're seeing the door self-existently. And I get this guilt complex, you know, and I'm trying to look at the door not self-existently. And then, you know, I'm eating dinner and momo, and then suddenly, oh my God, I'm seeing the momo as self-existent. You know, what am I doing? And you get nervous, you know, like you're doing something wrong. And you don't know what it is, and it drives you crazy. You know what I mean? Like, you're not quite clear what they're talking about. And, you know, I feel normal. I thought it was a momo. Tastes like a momo. You know, spurts like a momo. And I'm doing something wrong, you know, and I don't know what it is. And it's very, you know, it makes you crazy, you know. Anyway, dangjin ke starts when you're born. Starts as soon as you're conscious. And possessed by every life form. From amoebas up to elephants. You know what I mean? Every life form is making this mistake 24 hours a day as they perceive objects, you know. Is there a pen here? Yes. Am I perceiving a pen? Yes. Am I correct to say that I'm perceiving a pen? Yes. But there's some kind of feeling or overlay or some kind of mode in which I'm perceiving a pen which is wrong. The way I hold it to be, the way I assume it to be, the way I feel about it is totally wrong all the time. Okay? And that we have to talk about. Okay? Is there a pen there? Yes. Are you mistaken that there's a pen there? No. Is that a mistaken perception? No. Is that dangjin? No. Is it infected by dangjin? Yes. Do you have dangjin all the time? Yes. When you're thinking about dangjin, you have it. When you're not thinking about dangjin, you have it. Okay? All the time. You're always misperceiving this pen. Not that seeing it as a pen is wrong, but there's something inherent about the way you think about the pen which is wrong. And you can bring up that thought consciously, but it's always there subconsciously. Okay? That's the distinction you have to make. You can isolate how you feel about the pen which is wrong, but even as you do that, you're doing it. Okay? Like, I can explain to you what you're holding wrong about the pen, and even at the moment that you understand it, you're still doing it. About the new understanding, you're still doing it. Okay? It's very slippery. We'll talk about it, don't worry. Okay. Say, Tsumin.
Yijie.
Tsumin.
Yijie.
Tsu means way, min means not. Tsumin means wrong way, the wrong way. Okay? Yijie means thinking of it the wrong way. Okay? Thinking of it the wrong way. Yila chepa means to turn your mind to an object. Okay? It's one of the mental functions. And it's thinking of the pen the wrong way. And this doesn't mean this is general thinking of the pen. It's thinking about do you like it or not? Is it pleasant or not? Okay? Is it pleasant or not? So you have to write that down in step number. Which one are we on? Three. Okay? Thinking about whether the pen is pleasant or not in a wrong way. Okay? Thinking about that specific part of the pen in a wrong way. Okay? What is there to say about that? Do you like this pen or not? I mean, suppose it's your favorite ice cream, okay, or something like that. Do you like it or not? Okay, you do. Okay? So think of your favorite ice cream. It's hard for me because I like all of them, except Bumoni. Okay. Anyway, I mean, it's hard for me to distinguish. But anyway, think of your favorite ice cream and try to get in touch with the emotion or the feeling that its pleasantness is a quality of that ice cream. You see what I mean? That the pleasantness belongs to the ice cream. Okay? That ice cream has a quality of being pleasant. Okay? Now is the pleasant ice cream, sorry, is the ice cream pleasant? Yes. Okay? Is it pleasant from its own side in and of itself? If you say, uh-huh, like Tony Ngo, just kidding, then what you're saying in essence is that this kind of all the ice creams in the world, Ben and Jerry, Cherry Garcia, not the non-fat kind, okay? And I'm not asking, okay, that's the breaking of bodhisattva. But this particular kind, in and of itself, from its own side, is pleasant. If that were true, then what's the necessary consequence? All the other brands would go out of business. You see? Because if it were true that that ice cream had a quality of being the best from its own side, then everybody who was not insane would like it the best. You see what I mean? So that quality of being the tastiest ice cream or the best ice cream, we say it doesn't belong to that ice cream. Okay? Ben and Jerry's Cherry Garcia ice cream. Okay? It doesn't belong to that. That perception of it being that way, the feeling that it's that way, is coming from somewhere else. Where? It's coming from your mind. I mean, you have like three choices, okay? It's coming from outer space and hitting this ice cream carton, you know? It's inside the carton. Or it's coming from me. You see what I mean? Like there's three choices. It's obvious that it's probably coming from you, okay? Because everybody has their own favorite ice cream. That's a very, very, very simple and very accurate description of emptiness. You don't have to think of black holes. You don't have to think of cosmic dust. You don't have to think of auras. You don't have to watch your thoughts and watch them fade in or watch them fade out or watch them go black or anything like that. That's the emptiness of Ben and Jerry's Cherry Garcia ice cream, of the pleasantness of that ice cream. It is not a quality of that ice cream. The quality has an emptiness or is devoid of that quality of pleasantness. That's all. That's all that emptiness means. It's all it ever meant. Forget all the other stuff. Okay? Seriously. That's the emptiness of Ben and Jerry's Cherry Garcia ice cream. Okay? But number three says, your mind thinks of the pleasantness the wrong way. It doesn't realize that pleasant thing, the pleasantness of the ice cream, doesn't belong to the ice cream. Okay? Like you could make a debate that the coldness belongs to the ice cream, right? Although we could debate it later. Okay, but I mean, it's pretty easy to see that most people touch it would feel cold. You see what I mean? I mean, you could say more convincingly, although it's wrong, that the coldness is a quality of the ice cream. But to say that being the best ice cream is a quality of that ice cream is not true. And that you immediately understand that. Okay, so Tsumin Yiche, though, says that being good belongs to Cherry Garcia ice cream. Being good is a quality of that ice cream. Being the tastiest ice cream is the quality of that ice cream. Okay? It's not coming from me. Okay? Number four. Say, Chagdang. Ke. Chagdang. Ke. Okay? By the way, where did the pleasantness of the ice cream come from? Your mind, okay? And why do you like this ice cream and someone else doesn't? Because your perception of it as good is forced on you by your past karma. That's how karma works. That's what karma means, okay? You fed somebody in the past, somebody was cold, you gave them, no, somebody was too hot, you gave them something refreshing, you know, like lemonade, a glass of lemonade with ice. You were careful to put the ice in it. And due to that, you have Cherry Garcia ice cream in your world. And you like it. And I'm not kidding. This is ultimate worldview. There is no experience that you can experience that doesn't come from some event life having given one lousy lemonade in a paper cup with a cup, you were careful to throw in two dirty cubes of ice. And because of that, for a whole lifetime, you enjoy this kind of ice cream. That's exactly how things work. And you got to, you know, when people stop giggling when I say that, you'll be there. You'll be going out and serving people lemonade because you want to keep your ice cream, okay? Okay, that's all. And you can imagine cases under which that karma wears out. You get tired of that kind of ice cream. Your students give it to you for 3 months. Like, and then you're like, no, I don't want to see it anymore, you know. You get diabetes or something, and then you see it as something that's going to kill you or something like that. You see, the karma to enjoy anything wears out. And at some point, the karma wears out, and then it's not the best ice cream in the world anymore. Okay? That's an indication that the goodness of it is not one of its inherent qualities. Because if it were, you'd never get tired of it. You could eat 20 bowls a day instead of just 10 and get tired of it, okay? And that's a sign that it doesn't have a nature of its own, of being the best ice cream, okay? So really, when you think about this ice cream and why you enjoy it, and if you wanted to keep that enjoyment of that ice cream, you would have to serve others. You see, you would have to somehow help others have something tasty or something like that. That would be the karma, or that would keep you seeing this thing as pleasant, would be to share something similar with other people constantly. And that's the only way to get ice cream. And that's the only way to have Ben and Jerry's continue to be your favorite ice cream. You see what I mean? The only way. Otherwise it'll just wear out and you won't have it after a while. They'll take it off the market, your taste will change. Something like your doctor will tell you you can't have that anymore, okay? Or your food police or somebody will say you can't have that anymore. Something like that, okay? What I mean is, we talked about thinking about, number three was thinking about how good it tasted in the wrong way. And the right way is to see, oh yeah, I have the karma to enjoy this ice cream because I was kind to others, I shared with others, I helped someone else get something like that, and that karma is in my subconscious, it has come up to my conscious mind, it colors how I see my world, and I like that kind of ice cream. And it's my sunglasses, my rose-colored glasses called karma, that are making me see that as such a great ice cream. I understand it's not part of the ice cream. I understand the whole world is not like pink-colored. It's the glasses I'm wearing, okay? It's the karma that I bring to the object, okay? So, if you don't understand that, then you could get some kind of bad emotion about the ice cream. I want it, and other people shouldn't have it, okay? Right? Like, then you can have the ignorant thought. If you perceive the ice cream the wrong way, if the pleasantness of the ice cream is a God-given quality of the ice cream, then you can rightly say, I should have it and other people shouldn't have it. Okay? If the goodness of Ben and Jerry's Cherry Garcia ice cream is something that I'm perceiving only because I shared ice cream in the past, then Is it possible to not want to share it? I mean, if you're crazy, maybe. Right? But if you want this ice cream to continue to be great, what's the only way? Share it. Chakdung is the opposite. Okay? Chak is like the ignorant reaction to ice cream. Chak means wanting it in a way that you don't want it to get others to have it. It's like a stupid wanting. Okay? And dung is the opposite for people you don't like or ice creams you don't like spumoni. I have dung for spumoni. Okay? And dung means you don't like it, and you get sort of like this dislike for it in an ignorant way. Which means if someone, you know, if you had a choice at a party between getting the chocolate chip ice cream and the spumoni, you'd make sure that you got to the chocolate chip ice cream first. And that other people had to eat the spumoni. You see, that would be dung. You see, that would be disliking spumoni in a stupid way. You see the stupidness of it? You see the difference? One is like, oh, here, share my Cherry Garcia because I want to have the karma to continue to see it. You see what I mean? That's intelligent liking. And that's not what chak is about. Okay? In a lot of Buddhist teachings, they fail to distinguish between stupid liking and smart liking. Okay? Does the Buddha like living beings? I hope so. Okay? Would the Buddha like to see you reach nirvana? Sure. Does the Buddha like ice cream? Of course. You know. Does the Buddha dislike seeing people suffer? Does the Buddha dislike the fact that your suffering is caused by yourself because you're just stupid? Of course. He dislikes that. You know, does the Buddha dislike the fact that people send themselves to hell realms? Of course. He'd stop it if he could. See, I mean, so there has to draw a distinction between good liking and stupid liking, and good disliking and stupid disliking. What's stupid disliking? You take the spumoni, Jay, because I got the chocolate chip first. That's stupid disliking. That's the best way to what? To lose chocolate chip in the future and get inundated with spumoni. Okay? No, and I'm not kidding. Okay, I'm not kidding. Okay, that's stupid disliking. So chak dung refers to stupid disliking. In the picture of the wheel of life, in the middle, chak is the rooster or the pigeon, dung is the snake, and whose mouth is holding both their tails? The pig, which represents stupid. Okay, it means you don't get it that if you don't share the chocolate chip and if you dump the spumoni on Jehan, you're going to have spumoni forever. Well, not forever, because that'll wear out too, but very slowly. Okay? All right? So chakdang ke means you get the emotions of stupid liking and stupid disliking. Chak is stupid liking, dung is stupid disliking. Okay? By the way, if you want to have a barometer or a check on whether you're having stupid liking or smart liking, it's pretty much your natural reaction. Okay? That's why you're in the desire realm. That's why you're here and not in a Buddha paradise, if you're not. I don't know where you are. Okay? But if your natural reaction to something you like is to corner it, protect it, keep it away from others, don't share it, this is chak. That's natural and it's stupid. Okay? And then if your natural reaction to things you don't like, spumoni, oh, I got a choice. Let's see. Let me make sure the spumoni goes down the other side of the table and the chocolate chip comes up here. Then that's the natural reaction. Somebody yells at you, what's the natural reaction? You yell back. What's the only thing that could make a person yell at you in the future? Yelling back. You see, the natural, you have to watch out for your natural reactions because you are stuck in the desire realm. And you're here because you've been doing that all along. And that's why you have to suffer. Examine your natural reactions to the things you like and don't dislike, and you can pretty much, as a rule of thumb, know that you should be doing the opposite. Okay? Because you're stuck in the worst realm. So you must have been doing the exact ass-backward thing all this time. When somebody gets mad at you, be pleasant to them. You have a choice between spumoni and chocolate chip, you eat the spumoni, you give them the chocolate chip. Okay? You have to overcome your natural reaction, which is ignorant and which is damaging to you. Okay? You can only have that natural reaction if you don't understand where this stuff comes from. Number three, you can only have that problem if you have ignorance in your mind. You can only have that problem if you had ignorance in your past life. Okay? You see how, when you meditate on this, you can go 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 3, 2, 1. 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 3, 2, 1. You know what I mean? We call Lung Jung and Lung Dog. Okay? I didn't understand stuff in my past life, so I have these seeds. Those grown into the same misunderstanding in this life, I see things that are nice and bad the wrong way, and due to that, I like some things stupidly and I dislike other things stupidly. Why am I in trouble? I like things stupidly or dislike things stupidly because I don't understand pleasant and unpleasant things, because I have this defect in my mind called ignorance, and I have that because I had that seed in my past life. See what I mean? You can run it both ways. Now, number five. And I'm not talking theory. I'm talking you do this in the break. Okay? You do this with the person three seats down that you don't like so much. Okay? Right now. Use it right now. Le sak. Say le sak. Le sak. Le means karma. Sak means you collect it. What's it mean? Kill, steal, sexual misconduct, lying, slander, harsh words, out gossip, craving, ill will, and wrong view come into your mind, and you do them. You collect new karma, collect new bad karma. Okay? Why? Oh, run the playback. Because you like some things and you dislike other things. By the way, you can put for number five, my natural reaction. That's all. I yelled back. That's number five. I took the chocolate chip and left the spumoni for Jehan. Okay? So, that's natural reaction is collecting karma. It's caused by the fact that I like some things with a stupid state of mind and dislike other things with a stupid mind. Does it mean it's wrong to like chocolate chip ice cream? Not at all. After you've shared it with as many people as you can find, eat the whole carton. Okay? That's all. It doesn't mean you have to, it's not this Buddhist thing that you have to scourge yourself all the time. Get that out of your mind. That's your old Judeo-Christian thing. Dump it. It's stupid. You can have your cake and eat it too. Okay? You keep this code of behavior up, you'll live in a Buddha paradise, Jerry Garcia Buddha paradise. You know, you don't have to, you know, suffer so others can be happy or something like that. You can be happy so that others can be happy. How's that? Okay? So, get over those emotions that are caused by misunderstanding good things and bad things that comes as a natural thing in your mind because you had a seed in your past life. Because you have this seed in your past life, you have this seed in this life, you see good things and bad things the wrong way, you feel this ignorant desire for them and ignorant disliking for them, which means you don't share your ice cream. Okay? And you just keep running it back and forth, you know? By the way, I don't know if you get this immense light going off in your head that this is what the Buddha really meant. You know, oh, so emptiness does relate to getting out of it. You see what I mean? There is a connection between karma and emptiness and getting free of all this. You see what I mean? It's like Lord Maitreya has finally put it down on paper. Yeah, here's how it goes from step to step. Here's how not understanding your world causes all your problems. Causes your lethak. Okay? What's the last step? Say korwa. Kor. Korwa. Kor. You've heard this word in Sanskrit. It used to frustrate me because I'd go to Buddhist teachings. You know, I'd been studying for 3 weeks and you go into a class and they say, samsara is caused by your samskaras, triggering in your alaya vijnana due to your, you know, and I'm like, whoa, you know. And, okay, samsara. It means vicious circle. Did I spell that right? Okay, that's lucky. Vicious circle. That's all. Vicious circle. What's the only way to have Spumoni ice cream for the rest of your life? Assuming you hate it, okay? Make other people eat it and get the chocolate chip ice cream for yourself, which is number 5. That's because you like things and dislike things stupidly. That's because you don't understand. You have this wrong way of looking at good things and bad things. That's caused by this habit in your mind that you were born with because you had it in your past life. You had it in your past life, so you're born with it. You look at good things and bad things the wrong way. You feel like or dislike for them in a stupid way. The barometer there is, would you be selfish? Would you have a mental affliction about it? You see? If you can have a mental affliction about it, you're thinking about it the wrong way. And then you refuse other people the chocolate chip and give them the Spumoni. And then, korwa kor means you have just spun the wheel again. Okay? Korwa means wheel, vicious circle. Kor means you've spun it again. Meaning, you've just made it perpetuate itself. Okay? The classic example, the boss yelled at you, and your natural reaction, which I said is a good test for your stupid reaction, is what? You yell back. If this theory of Buddhism is true, and I don't say you have to buy it, but if it's true, what's the only way to get a stupid, ugly, yelling boss in your face in the future? Yell back. And that's samsara. That's a vicious circle. You see what I mean? Your natural reaction triggers the next occurrence of it so that you can react that way again, so that you can react that way again, so that you can have it again, so you can react that way again, so you can have it again and react that way again, so you can have... People ask me, why am I still here after millions of years? Duh. You know, okay? Because your natural reaction... By the way, we're the leftovers. Okay? I mean, everybody else is gone. They're out. No, I'm not kidding. We are the leftovers. And we didn't get it. You know, we're still yelling back. We still refuse to share the things we love. You know what I mean? And so we keep setting up in the future to happen, for it to happen again. And that's what the word samsara means. That's what korwa means. A vicious cycle, right? Where you react the wrong way. The cycle happens because you react the wrong way, because you have this thing of liking and disliking things in a stupid way, because you perceive nice things and good things the wrong way, because you have a tendency to think that things have their own qualities from their own side, because you've always thought that way in millions of past lives. And because you've thought that way in millions of past lives, you have this habit in your mind of seeing things as coming from their own side. And then you think that goodness and badness comes from its own side, and then you feel good or bad about it and want to protect it or fight off other people, and then you hurt them in some way to get what you want or to avoid what you don't like, and then you spun the wheel one more time. Okay? And you, if you want to say you've been in these classes and you understand anything, and I'm going to have a Geshe degree from ACI whenever I finish that last final exam, you know, you better be able to spin this wheel up and down for people, because this is it. This is the thing that people have to know, okay? This is the greatest kindness you can do for other people. Teach them how this Maitreya process works. And then they can break it. They can break it. They can break the cycle. And then Master Shantideva says, kiss those irritating people goodbye. You know, because one by one they will drop out of your life because you didn't feed the vicious circle. You refuse to return violence to violence. You refuse to return anger for anger, okay? And you just stop. And by the way, it's unilateral, okay? Don't wait for the other person to stop. They're not going to. Why? Because you didn't stop. You create them, okay? Don't sit there and be, you see it around the world. When the other side stops, I'll stop. You see what I mean? It has to be unilateral. Okay? They're not going to stop. Why? From their side, because you didn't stop. You have to break it from your side. You stop getting angry, then there's no angry person in the future to bother you. You see? That's all. So it has to be, the breaking of the cycle has to be done by you. Okay? Where? What number do you think is the first one that you've kicked the ass out? You know, which one? I don't think so. If you get to Chakdan K, if you're already feeling this dislike or wanting something selfishly, you're going to collect karma. I don't think you can break it between 4 and 5. Give me another place. Between 1 and what? How about between... Yeah, I don't think between 3 and 4, because if once you perceive the goodness of Jim Ben and Jerry's Cherry Garcia as being a quality of that ice cream, you're already in trouble. Okay? No, really. If you don't understand that that goodness is coming from your side, you're already in trouble. 3 is too late. Between what and what? Between 2 and 3. That's where you break it. Okay? Right here. You stop thinking of things the wrong way. You stop thinking of things the wrong way. Okay? Yeah, it looks good. It tastes good. But only because I've been good. Okay? So I refuse to not share my ice cream. Because that would be the stupidest thing I could do. Okay? We were joking at Godstow this weekend. Who was the first caveman who figured this out? I mean, it's brilliant, right? I mean, you go out to your cave, you just, you know, kill the deer and you dragged it back to your cave. And I think there was an earthquake. And the deer body fell off and landed in the next guy's cave. And he came out and he said, "Thanks a lot." And he took it in and ate it. And then the next day, 2 deer came. And the guy got 2 deer bodies. And then he figured it out. Like, he's this genius Einstein caveman. And he said, "How come 2 deer came today? I did give the other guy the deer yesterday. Let's try it." He throws the other 2 deer down there, and then the next day he gets 4 deer. You see, I mean, somebody had to figure it out, because it's totally not human nature, right, to share something, knowing that it's going to give you everything you dreamed of. You see, I mean, it's just not normal. It's just weird to think like that, okay? It takes a lot of knowledge to be able to implement it, okay? And that's it. Those 6 steps of Maitreya, Lord Maitreya, absolutely connect karma to ignorance, to how you see things, to how you act, and you can start doing this at the break with the refreshments. Okay? We used to have a kids class in New Jersey for the Kalmyk Mongolian kids, and there were about 15 kids, and we had this rule. Janice was there 18 years ago. She was about that high. She was King Udayana, because we didn't have any boys, you see?